if you meant to be at the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast, you are in the right place. If you're not, then if you didn't mean to be here, then stick around anyways, because we're going to have a really spirited discussion about the Packers' 33-30 victory over the San Francisco 49ers. I'm Tom Silverstein with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm here with Jim Osarski from the Journal Sentinel.
Hello.
And we just witnessed one of the greatest games of all time between the 49ers and Packers. Actually, not even close.
No. Well, I mean, it was the best offensive game of 2018 for the Packers, right?
Yeah, yeah, by yards and points.
Yeah, so that's something.
Yeah, that is something.
That's a thing that happened. At the very least, it was entertainment.
And, you know, it was probably as close to a winter game as you can get in October.
Yes, that's true.
You know, it was pretty chilly in the 30s. Wind chill was, what, 29 or something like that?
Yes, down to 33 for the wind chill.
You know, which sort of leads me to our new sponsor, by the way. Notice the smooth transition. We are now being sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino in Milwaukee. And get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise at Pottawatomie Thursdays in October and November. More at paysbig.com/islandtime. You got that?
I do.
All right.
Because it's cold.
I was thinking I could be in an island next week when we go to the bye. I don't know about you, but I would like to
be
on an
nice
island. All right, let's get to the game. Fast and furious. I want to know what your opinion is on overall. What did you think of this game? So 49ers are a 1-5 football team now.
Yeah.
The Packers are a 3-2-1 football team.
Right.
What do you take out of this going into the bye week?
Well, it was must win. So at the end of the day, they accomplished the goal, which was to be 3-2-1 going into the bye.
Yeah.
But I hesitate to say they should have lost or they didn't deserve to win, because I don't think that's the case. I don't think they played, you know, they didn't turn it over six times and somehow, you know, came up with something unbelievable. It wasn't inspiring. It wasn't the feel-good game that you and I talked about with Olivia earlier in the week. The, you know, the defense puts it together, for four quarters, and the offense, you know, despite the final numbers, and actually, again, its best effort this year from start to finish, points, yards. I mean, they scored in every quarter, which they had not done. I mean, you know, it was the start-fast game the offense was looking for, but you're just kind of like, wow, you don't feel any better if you're a Packers fan, knowing the Rams and the Patriots are you know, short weeks away.
I'm going to go a step further, even, and say that I think the Packers showed who they are, which is not a very good football team.
I
think that this is a team that has some really good players at certain positions, but is not a good football team. And I think on Monday night, we saw two really good players, Rodgers and Davante Adams, come through for them in the clutch. But go through the rest of the game, and boy, I thought San Francisco outplayed them.
Right.
I thought they outcoached them.
Yes.
I thought they outhustled them. And I thought they outsmarted them. I mean, I the only thing that San Francisco didn't do was bring Jimmy Garoppolo, you know?
Right.
Because if he's there, this is a totally different game, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to your point of outcoached or outsmarted. So I ended up writing about the game-turning play, which was Kevin King's interception.
Mm-hmm.
Third and three at the 46, short field on a dumb penalty by Tony Brown. First down and it's over, basically. Robbie Gould's going to make that kick.
Right.
And Kevin King and Tremont Williams Could not believe the route concept that the receivers ran that Kyle Shanahan drew up. They're talking about a post game. They had so much respect for Shanahan's play calling that entire game and what he did to them to put Blake Martinez on Marquise Goodwin, you know, up the seam. I mean, you know, to create matchups like that and how smart and efficient he was as a play caller, you know, to their credit, HaHa Clinton Dix forced the pressure and Kevin King made a play. But you're right. I think, look, they're 3-2-1. That's not a good. 2-2-1 wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're about a average team.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be pretty most of the time.
Well, it's not going to be pretty when you're headed to face the 6-0 Los Angeles Rams, and then you're headed to New England for the 4-2 Patriots, and then
who have figured it out, by the way.
Yeah, and then you're coming back for the Miami Dolphins, who aren't a bad team. I mean, just beat Chicago without their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And then you're going to Seattle on the road.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that grand picture of thing, I don't see the Packers as contenders or competitors. Maybe it's going to be because the division's going to turn out to be not so good, but right now they're not a good team. I don't think.
And I think the division is their entry point. You know, it does remind. I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't out for the year, but it's shaping up at least from afar. Time I remember the first collarbone year, where the tie against Minnesota at home benefited them to win on the final play and what was it, 8-7-1. I mean, you have an 8-win division winner. But then, and then of course, you throw everything out the window. To me, once you get in the playoffs, I think a lot of things can happen. But
absolutely, you can get hot at the end. But
you know, they're gonna have a severe uphill climb if something isn't corrected during the short bye week. By the way, because on one hand, it Kenshaw Bryce told me, he says it's really frustrating. And you know, he's speaking defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Said it's really frustrating because we can't play a complete game. You know, this game followed the same tale as every other game.
Mm-hmm.
24 first half points. 290 first half yards. 6 second half points.
Yeah.
111 second half yards. Holding them to 1 of 6 on third down when they were 1 of 3 before. I mean, they played better the second half to give Aaron Rodgers extra possessions.
Right.
But you have to play complete games to beat good teams.
Yeah.
Because a good team, they were able to kind of go back and forth with the 49ers. But they're not going to – I mean, do you think this team can win 42-38 in L.A.?
No.
I
think this team gets behind 21-7 in L.A., and they're done. Because, first of all, they can't run the ball. They won't run the ball.
Right. That's a whole other thing. I think Aaron Jones disappeared again after starting.
It's amazing. I looked it up after the game, and they rank 27th, I think, in attempts per game. 22 rushing attempts per game, and I'm pretty sure that includes Rodgers rushing attempts. I am befuddled as to why they give up on the run game so quickly. It's beyond me. You look at the numbers, and Jones averaged 5.1. He's averaging 5.9 for the season.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams threw some late runs, finished with 6 for 29. And Ty Montgomery, with a 14-yard run, broke into positive yardage and finished 4 for 12. So they averaged 5.5. Even if you take out Rodgers, 3 for 34, they were 46, 87, 715. So they're 15-87, And that's almost that's over five.
Yeah, yards. 5'8"
Right.
So you're right. I don't especially because this there's two reasons that's surprising to me. Because again, I guess it's you know, Marvin Lewis used to say, "I see better than I hear," regarding players who talked or media who talked. I see it better than I hear it. And Mike McCarthy has insisted all year that this could be the best running game that he's had in a long time. He has insisted how quality and what they can do, and in short, brief spurts, you see it. I mean, I get, but see, Tom Hill said, listen to you, I started Aaron Jones. And they started fast, by the way.
Yeah, they did. They did. And,
but, you know.
But what I keep seeing is that teams have got the answer to what they want to do offensively.
Yeah.
I know that Rodgers is not 100%. He's missing some throws. He's not getting out of the pocket. I actually thought in the first quarter they looked really – they looked pretty good. Rodgers was staying in the pocket.
Yeah.
They were running the ball.
Play action really worked.
Yeah. And then as soon as they stopped running, you know, San Francisco adjusted by – they kept running these bootleg plays, and San Francisco just decided they were going to hold their defensive end and not – allow him they told him not to pursue backside on running plays away from him. Just stand there. And when Rodgers bootlegs, get in his face.
Right.
And I never really saw the Packers figure that out.
Right.
Or counter it until the last drive, you know, when they finally gave it to Ty Montgomery to the left side and didn't bootleg it.
Right.
You know?
Or you know, even Aaron scrambling up the middle for some key first downs and key yardage.
But, you know, really when you look at it, to me, I saw Davante Adams sort of disappear for a while till they finally figured out a way to get him the ball.
Yeah.
They did get him the ball. They did get Graham the ball. They did get Valdez-Scantling the ball.
Yeah.
They all three finished with over 100 yards.
Yeah.
But they just weren't really efficient. And I don't know what you can say other than, you know, they beat a bad team. They rolled up a lot of yards, just like they did against Detroit. But, I wouldn't be bragging about this performance. And I thought they were happy and relieved at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, look, 17 points in the first quarter – it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Now, however, you know, they were given the ball with two prime field position spots.
Mm-hmm.
And one, they retreated, went backwards. Another, I think they just resulted in field goals. And that's kind of been the sticking point for this offense.
Yeah.
You know, 3 points, 3 points, and finally, of course, at the end of the game, they get 10 in the fourth quarter, but that's after failing on fourth down on fourth and goal.
So,
you know, I mean, it, so
yeah,
it look, you're right, on paper things look good, but especially when you're in sort of that back and forth game, you know, I don't know what the answer is, because I it's a short bye week, and while adjustments and changes can be made, you kind of are who you are to a degree, aside from maybe you're unscouted, you're unscripted. So, which I did think Mike McCarthy did a good job. I mean, Davante Adams or Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Jimmy Graham. I mean, there were some wide open throws, you know, that early part of the game, first 15.
Yeah, they did, right. And then they disappeared.
Right. You didn't see it again.
And then you didn't see it till the end of the game when Rodgers somehow – I don't know what they did, but they were able to get the ball to Adams.
Yeah.
And excuse me, as Rodgers said, this was kind of the game where he had, 16 targets?
Yeah.
And that's what Rodgers is looking for. 16 targets, 10 receptions, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. The guy is really good player. I mean, he's right now he's, you know, one of their best 2 or 3 players.
Yeah.
I'll still put Bakhtiari right up there. And right now Rodgers is not really playing as one of their best.
Right.
He's missing some throws, and but you know, he also led them on those drives at the end, and so you can't take that away from him. Let's talk about the defense and what's going on with Mike Pettine's crew.
Right.
I was shocked at how well San Francisco ran the ball against them. And talk about balance.
Right.
You know?
I mean, Matt Breida, 4.5 yards a carry, but his look, I mean, that looked like a, it looked like it was 6 yards a pop.
Absolutely.
You know, and Mostert had 87 yards, the third string running back on the depth chart.
Yeah.
I mean, they clearly saw a matchup. Alfred Morris never saw the field.
No.
They clearly saw something in that run defense. Now, Mike Pettine acknowledged in the run-up to this game that Kyle Shanahan, I mean, Shanahan was Pettine's offensive coordinator in Cleveland. I mean, mm-hmm. They're good friends. They know each other intimately in terms of what they do, what they like. And, you know, I guess there's good and bad with that. The bad is that, you know, the other one might know your tendencies or your weaknesses or know how to play to that a little better. They had a hard time.
If you're Mike Pettine and you know your offensive coordinator's offense, your former offensive coordinator's offense, and you know who his quarterback is,
right.
I don't understand how you can allow Blake Martinez to get matched up with
a
4-2-7
right.
guy down the middle of the field.
Yeah. And Kentrell Bryce owned that one.
Really?
Yeah. He said it was cover 2, and he basically admitted he underestimated the speed of Marquise Goodwin. Believe it or not, even though he's an Olympian and ran a 4.17, which I'm sure they were well aware of those numbers, but Kentrell Bryce said I needed to move faster to get over the top. So, but still, though, I mean, you know, it was still a linebacker on Marquise Goodwin, regardless of what should have happened 30 yards down the field.
Yeah.
You know, and look, you know, the Packers, again, 2 sacks. And one of those was Clay Matthews. You know, Bethard, it was kind of in that moment where you saw where Bethard is a young quarterback afraid to make a mistake, and he just kind of drifted into him. So it's still a sack. It counts.
I saw four hits.
I mean.
Yeah. And you know what kept ringing in my head was that this is a team with some really declining players. Like Matthews on that. That move that Pierre Garçon made on him was embarrassing. I mean, he never even tried to break down on him. He just sort of ran
right
past at
him.
And Garçon just sidestepped him.
And
that, to me, made Clay Matthews look old.
I mean, and a lack of fundamentals and, I mean, everything.
Mike Daniels, I thought, you know, I've been charting him. He's had some decent pressures over the past couple of weeks, but he hasn't gotten to the quarterback, and I thought he was pretty invisible today.
Yeah, it's interesting. His I think he was credited with a tackle, but it was the first time I had heard, and it was late in the game. It was on a run play where he got some pressure, and that was the only time I heard his name. And Clay Matthews, up until I think he had a tackle on a run, but you're right. I had tweeted something out, Tom, where I said, you know, none of the Packers' defensive stars have made a play yet, and the overwhelming response was, "What stars?"
Yeah.
And basically, the response is to that is the guys who are paid like it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Kevin King, your second round, much maligned second round pick, made the play he had to make.
Yes, he did.
You know, but on that final play, Mike Pettine set 7 guys. Mike Daniels was not one of them. It was Dean Lowry and Kevin Clark to try to get pressure. But Blake Martinez was picked up. Clay Matthews was picked up. Jermaine Whitehead was picked up. And HaHa Clinton Dix, again, as we mentioned.
Well, did you see who was in the game when first couple of plays when San Francisco had the ball deep in their own end line, and I forgot, they completed to the tight end, and who came up and made that tackle before the first down? Kyler Fackrell. He was in the game in place of Matthews.
Yeah, and he made a really nice play on Beathard as well on a scramble out.
Yes.
Didn't hit the quarterback out of bounds or high or whatever, and kept contained. Yeah. So it was just a one-yard scramble, helped force that punt.
Yeah. So you look at the tackles, Blake Martinez at 12. Kenny Clark, when your nose tackle has 7,
yeah,
I don't know what to say about that. If that's good, if that's just means Kenny Clark's playing pretty well, which I thought he was pretty good. Now, I talked to him after the game, and he said that they were just really bad recognizing their keys.
Yeah.
That they were off. Just off that he was pretty critical of the run defense that they played. That wasn't anything that, you know, they had played. He hadn't thought they had played like that before. Their run defense was pretty good statistically. It was okay.
Right.
But this was like everything they were running was stuff they weren't ready for. Like the linebackers were getting blocked. Like the defensive linemen weren't taking blockers off anybody.
No, I think there were some communication issues. I remember one play in particular, Blake Martinez was motioning for Oren Burks to kind of shift a little further. He didn't hear that or what, and then, of course, Burks gets caught in a wash and it ended up being a large run. You're right. To me, it looked like a speed mismatch in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, Breda and Mostert, I thought, just were faster than the Packers linebackers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I give Blake Martinez credit. There's a lot of backside tackles. I mean, if he wasn't kind of as sure-handed as he is, there could have been a lot more yardage in that.
Yeah, sure could have. Special teams, I thought, was pretty bad again.
I think the Tony Brown play, pushing a guy. I mean, first of all, it was a 30-plus yard return anyway.
To 32, yeah.
And then to push a guy out of bounds. That could have cost them the game. I mean, that set up the 3rd and 3. I mean,
yes.
Another long Ty Montgomery kick return
called
wiped
back
out.
Yeah.
And that was Antonio Morrison. I think he was called for a hold, but he... That was one of those, Tom, I don't know if you watched it after the play.
I did.
He was giving it. I thought there might have been another 15-yard for unnecessary roughness. That he ended up hurting that guy for the 49ers. And then later, there were other more tips back and forth between Morrison and...
Yeah, you know, he sort of pulled the guy down. Well, he sort of fell backwards with the guy falling on top of him. And he had his arms around him, so it looked like he was pulling him down. But I don't know if it was what he did after or what he did then got him the penalty.
Yeah.
Either way.
They
can't. They can't. You know, step over each other is basically it.
Right. You know? I mean, Mason Crosby redeemed himself. His anomaly in life.
He did.
I mean, 4 for 4 on field goals, the game winner, 3 for 3 on extra points, and I think people did hold their breath on the extra point to tie the game at 30, which is fair because he had missed one against Buffalo.
Yeah,
and Aaron Rodgers mentioned it where he says he wasn't sure if they were being if he was being sarcastically cheered.
Right.
And Aaron's smart enough; I think he knows that those were definitely Bronx cheers.
Yes, the early, first one.
The first one.
Yeah.
He came through.
He did.
You know, I'll give Raven Green. Forced a fumble on a kick return. And actually, you know, you talk about coaching and whatnot. I mean, that was it for DJ Reed. He fumbled. He's their primary kick returner. Kyle Shanahan said, "You're done." They benched him after that.
Yeah. Didn't he take the last one that Brown pushed out of bounds?
No, that was Richie James.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, DJ Reed had the one return for 30 yards. That was it.
Wow.
Which I believe was the opening kickoff. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, what? The Tony Brown thing to me is insane because this is the second time, and if he's on the team, come the end, when they come back from the bye, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. I mean, especially because people were wondering, is Breshad Breeland ever going to play? I mean, I think he's dealing with a hamstring. I think that's the issue. And Jair Alexander, of course, with the groin. So if those guys are healthy and ready to go, and presuming Kevin King didn't have an injury that we're unaware of, your top five corners should all be healthy, which doesn't leave much room for a rookie who's had two really bad penalties in two weeks.
I'll have to go back and look, but I thought Clinton Dix played better today. From what I could say, he had the forced fumble, had the set, you know, had the hit on Beathard that caused the interception. Let's see how many tackles he had. Three tackles, one quarterback hit, and the forced fumble. So it wasn't a bad day. I didn't see him really get beat bad. Maybe that – I don't even know if the guy – I think it was Kittle who he hit. He was kind of wide open. Yeah. It was like a 21-yard gain, and then he knocked the ball out. Otherwise, you know, there's not a lot of great performances that you could – a lot of there.
You know, I think, Tom, it's, you know, and I honestly don't know. Maybe it was Kyle Shanahan's scripted 15, too, that really threw them off. But I think this was probably the best example of what this team is, where the defense can do just enough, but it needs the offense to score 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And think of how different this conversation is if the offense scores 30 against Minnesota, like they probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a win and not a tie. You know, Detroit, I think the two turnovers, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I think this defense does enough to help to win, but it's just they don't play complementary football.
Yeah.
They don't force enough three and outs and turnovers to aid an offense that clearly still needs it.
Yeah, and you can't give up 24 points, mm-hmm. 22 points, 27 points,
right.
Whatever it was in halves.
Those are game totals.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't expect your offense to play from behind in those situations. So it's not a pretty scene, and I really think there's a lot of pressure on McCarthy coming out of this bye to figure this out. They have to at least compete in those two games. I don't expect them to win either game.
No.
But they got to find a way to get their team in a position to compete in those games.
Yeah, and I think as time goes on, Tom, I think the way it's shaping up is the game in L.A. might be the one that they can get, because the Rams are giving up a lot of points. They're two corners. I don't think Aqib Talib's going to be back. Cooper Kupp had a really serious knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
So LA is kind of going through the attrition phase of football. And I don't know if Marcus Peters will be back at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's going to be some issues out in LA. But you're right. I it's a short turnaround. They've got a few days off.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get the extra two. They kind of caught a raw deal with their schedule in general.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't get those 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's important for, you know. So, I don't see the easiest fix other than, again, the things we've been talking about for 5 weeks, which is hand the ball off.
Run the damn ball. Right. Get Aaron Rodgers healthy and get the two receivers back.
Right.
And then stay healthy on the offensive line. That'll give you a chance. But, again, I just don't know if they have enough playmakers, especially on defense.
Defense, right. That's the thing that I can't put my finger on, Tom. So I'm looking at this. I've written this down.
Mm-hmm.
They have given up 100 first-half points.
Okay.
Okay. Now, it counts because it happened against Minnesota. They have given up 44 second-half points, half of those coming just against the Vikings.
Hmm.
So let's just, you go from 100. I mean, it's a 56-point swing.
Yeah.
But that clearly causes issues, though, because you're in trail mode. You're, as Mike McCarthy has said, they're scrapping so much of their offense, and maybe that's just ingrained in them. Oh, we can't run the ball. We can't take the time to.
Except you were.
I don't know.
They were up 17-7.
They were.
And
they didn't.
When you would. I mean, I understand that Goodwin then caught that 67-yard touchdown, but that should be when you're running the ball and eating the clock. And I know San Francisco, when they got to that point, decided to take some chances against the run, but I don't really understand why you wouldn't try harder to establish the run.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can go on and on, and I sound like a broken record on that, you know.
But I guess at the end of the day, it goes back to kind of how where we started this conversation with your piece, PackersNews.com and JS Online, about they're just not very good. I mean, they're an average team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's – and it's ugly at times, and you know, I don't know how you can give up 100 first half points and then six in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? Other than you're completely unprepared for unscouted looks, which I know they say that's difficult, but I mean, you know.
Oh, come on. Everybody has to prepare for that.
Exactly. So what is happening, you know? And to a man, every time I've talked to these defensive guys, it seems like I've talked to these defensive guys about this stuff every week, and they all say they rarely make halftime adjustments. It's really just Mike Pettine saying, play better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of the same calls, a lot of the same stuff, and then they just do it.
Hmm.
So I don't know what that means. You know, I'm sure the listeners out there are like, it's the coaches. Fire McCarthy.
Yeah.
You heard about it on the blog.
Yeah, we're not firing anybody today. Maybe after the bye we'll think about it. But for right now, we're not going to bye. All right, so let's wrap this up. I think everybody needs a bye.
Yeah.
I know I do. I know you do. And I'm sure our fans do, our readers. So let's take a bye this week, and we'll be back following week.
Yeah.
We'll have a blog early next week. And our, did I say blog?
Yeah.
Podcast.
We do it all.
I don't know what
blogs,
I'm doing.
It's podcasts, late. Videos, late. Facebook.
Time for us to get out of here. Anyway, well, enjoy it. I hope you follow all our coverage and all our Brewers coverage.
Yeah.
Let's give a plug to our boys, Todd Rosiak and Tom Hardicourt, are doing a great job.
Some good stuff. Lori Nickel jumping in.
Yeah.
Some great features. And J.R. Ratcliffe kind of staying on top of all the weird stuff that happens in postseason baseball.
Like I know.
Marlins man and Front Row Amy and all the weird celebrities that become celebrities because it's the playoffs and – why not? All we need is an animal to appear at Miller Park. I know there was like the Miller Park bat for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it seems like that's the one thing it's missing is an animal.
Hank is in hiding, I think, right? Wow. They won't reveal where he is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's
so.
You know, open up a whole other
we're gonna
can try
to get a,
worms there.
We'll try to get a squirrel or something on the podcast here. So we'll be back. Everybody have a really great week.
Yeah.
Check our – we'll be having coverage every single day. So don't forget to go back to JS Online. And for that, start the music and say see you next time.
See you next week.